item number two. From the Director of the Behavioral Health Division's Community Services Branch and the Executive Director of the Faith Partnership Network, providing a presentation on Wiser Choice along with outcome data.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Hi, Madam Chair.
Thank you for allowing us to be here. I'm Susan Godach. I'm the Director of the Community Services Branch, and I'm joined by Sean Smith, who is the Executive Director of the Faith Partnership Network, and Jenna Sosa, who is an Integrated Services Manager in the Community Services Branch. We're very appreciative of being able to present Wiser Choice to you during the month of September. September is Recovery Month, and it is recovery to allow individuals to recognize the importance of prevention, of treatment, that treatment actually does work, and that recovery happens every day for individuals. We did have a PowerPoint, but that is we have a little bit of a technical difficulty, so it's coming around to you in hard copy. So we will ask that you work with us in just flipping through your own slides. So Wiser Choice is an acronym. It stands for Wisconsin Supports Everyone's Recovery Choice. And Wiser Choice is the public sector service delivery system in Milwaukee County for individuals that have a substance use disorder. We traditionally serve individuals between the ages of 18 to 59, although we do expand and serve individuals over the age of 59. It is exclusively for Milwaukee County. It's for individuals who are uninsured or underinsured, and the only criteria is that you have to have a substance use disorder and need treatment services through the county.
So on the next slide, you see the history of Wiser Choice, and some of you might be thinking, well, why is she here from Faith Partnership Network? The Wiser Choice program required the inclusion of faith-based organizations. So 8 years ago when the program started, I was brought on to work with the faith community to identify and enroll faith-based organizations, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we move forward. So the history of Wiser Choice, it's a federal access to recovery grant sponsored by SAMHSA. We received the grant in 2004 initially and have received it two subsequent times, so for a total of three-year funding cycles. So we're now in year eight of a nine-year program. It is in partnership with DHS and DMHSAS. We're one of 32 states that have received the Access to Recovery funding, and I can tell you that Milwaukee has really been a forerunner in engaging faith-based service providers in the network. It's a fee-for-service program, and one of the ways that we describe the voucher-based or fee-for-service program is if I gave half of you Visa debit cards, gift cards, and I gave the other half cards, and I said you could only go to Kohl's or Macy's. The way the voucher system works is it's your Visa debit card or your Visa gift card where you could go anywhere and select services versus having to be directed to just one or two places. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We serve 3,200 people annually, and those are new participants. New participants. The goals of Wiser Choice to expand capacity to support client choice, again, by the voucher system. Clients are able to receive their voucher and purchase services wherever it is that they like. To increase faith-based providers, so building capacity among faith-based providers to deliver services. We know that oftentimes when folks are in crisis, they turn to their faith and their faith facility or mosque, church, wherever it is that they access services. The focus on recovery is recovery support coordination, recovery support services, and then the recovery checkups.
There are specific priority populations that are served within Wiser Choice, and the priority populations are individuals who will never wait. There are certain times where we do have a wait to get into treatment, but there are specific individuals who will never wait. Probably the two primary groups of individuals who never wait are pregnant women, and that is to obviously avoid adverse birth outcomes and to address the addiction that the woman is experiencing during her pregnancy, and IV drug users, and that is to obviously prevent the transmission of infectious disease. There are priority populations through certain funding sources that we receive, and that's for women and families. We receive funding through W-2 and then also through the Bureau of Milwaukee Child Welfare, so it's to serve their individuals. Also, we have priority services for individuals who have co-occurring mental health and substance use disorders and who are also homeless, offenders that are reentering from the prison, and we also target individuals who are participating in our adult and family drug treatment courts. One of the most significant additions to Wiser Choice has been the focus on veterans, and we have had incredible success in working with veterans and our partnership with veterans organizations. And one of the prime examples that we had in trying to have an immersion experience was an initiative that occurred last year, which was Wisconsin Operation Immersion, in which a busload of us actually went to Fort McCoy and had a real-life experience of what an actual preparation for a deployment would be for a veteran. So it helps us in actually acknowledging, you know, and recognizing what are some of the unique needs of veterans and returning veterans that we actually need to focus in on when they come back into the Milwaukee community. As Sean had alluded to, we do operate the Wiser Choice funding in a voucher network, and there are a high number of funding streams that actually blend the monies together to serve individuals. So there are a lot of different acronyms that are there listed, but in its totality, we have $9.3 million that are available in the voucher network to serve individuals. At intake, how this actually works is that an individual is assessed for every single funding source in which they are eligible for. And so it allows the treatment episode to be stretched out, and it allows the treatment episode to be individualized for the person so we can tap into a variety of different resources to be able to finance. And it could be things from the full treatment episode to some of those recovery support services in order to ensure that the individual actually does have a successful opportunity for recovery depending upon the necessary clinical length of stay. Some of the primary funding sources are federal funding, federal discretionary funding, we have state funding, and obviously we have local county tax levy that populates the Wiser Choice funding network. So how do people access services? We operate five central intake units, and that is actually the front door for the county. So the central intake units are Impact, which is on 6th and National. We have UCC, which is in Walker's Point, and they specifically work with individuals who are Spanish-speaking and can provide bilingual and monolingual services. We have M&S Clinical Services, which is located up on 4th and Locust. We have Justice Point, and they are actually located in the safety building, and they serve primarily the drug court population and individuals who are being referred for deferred prosecution. And we have WCS, which is on 35th and Wisconsin, to serve our criminal justice population. So once a person goes through the central intake unit, they are actually assessed for a clinical level of care. And, a lot of the levels of care that we serve is the entire continuum as is established for substance use disorder treatment. So we can serve an individual in two different types of residential. We have a medical residential or transitional residential. We have outpatient plus services. We have day treatment. And then we have traditional outpatient care.
In terms of what is recovery support services, there are just a couple of things I'll point out. It's a strength-based case management. It's an individualized plan, so each participant it's not a cookie-cutter type thing. Each individual is going to get their own plan. Clients are establish their own path to recovery, and we ensure that clients' well-being beyond the provision of formal services. So again, just working with the client on an individual basis, again, not just being processed through a system, they actually have their own plan that is established just for the services and support that they need. There's a list of all the services, which I won't go through unless you have questions at the end. We can address that. There's a list of services there that are provided.
And now we just wanted to do some specific highlights of the Wiser Choice program. Wiser Choice is one of the top three performing sites in the entire nation. Only We are up in the top three with Connecticut and with the state of Washington. We exceed the relative change for our national outcomes collected on 80% of the areas in which outcome data are selected. And one of the probably the greatest strengths of the Wiser Choice program is the recovery checkup component. Now, recovery checkup is a component in which it follows an individual for 6 months after they have been discharged from treatment. And traditionally, outcome data is collected at intake and at discharge, and that is the end of it. But what Wiser Choice does is through the recovery checkup component of this service delivery is able to follow an individual for a six-month period of time once they have completed a formal treatment episode. And that allows us, if an individual is struggling with their ability to maintain their sobriety in the community, that we can re-engage them in services. But it's also just an opportunity for an individual to have a connection and to have someone know, you know, how they can re-engage or give reinforcement for the positive things that are actually occurring within their recovery itself. Now, you have a data handout that was part of the packet, but I wanted to just highlight some of the areas just in regards to how outcomes for Wiser Choice improve at intake and then at the six-month follow-up. For individuals who are struggling with alcohol, their abstinence is recorded at intake and at discharge. And at intake, we'll start with drugs. I'm sorry, I see your slide is different than my layout. So drugs is at an intake at 42.5% of individuals, you know, are using drugs. At 6 months, we have 93.8% are abstinent, okay? So I think one of the things when we take a look at what the absolute change is, that's an improvement of 51% just from intake to discharge. But relative change is a different component. And relative change, what that does is that compares Milwaukee to the other 32 sites across the country. So our relative change actually is an improvement of 120% from how the rest of the sites are actually performing. For alcohol, the relative change is at intake is 53%. For abstinence for alcohol, at discharges, that's 87%. Relative change is at 63% when the national average is at 17% improvement. One of the other changes, employment, and for individuals who are employed at intake, it's 19%. At 6 month post-discharge, it's 28.7%. Traditionally, that's an improvement across the system of 9%, but the relative change is approximately 50% when we're compared to the rest of the sites. So the relative change is one of the things that actually sets Milwaukee, you know, aside from how we actually perform for the rest, from, you know, in comparison to the rest of the country. You can take a look at the rest of the slides in regards to our comparison, but I think the one thing that I do want to point out is that there is one area in which the county continues to struggle, and that is in regards to housing. You had the presentation that was, you know, before us, but that is an area that we struggle with, is trying to find safe and stable and sober housing for individuals. So that is the one area in which Milwaukee County does not do as well as other sites across the country. One of the things that we are proposing is to try and work in partnership with the Division of Housing to have targeted case management for individuals that have a substance use disorder. Is almost like a damp housing approach, in which when an individual is in the early stages of their recovery and they may be struggling, that they are still allowed and afforded to have safe and stable housing as they continue to work on their recovery and try and continue to achieve that sobriety that they're looking for. One of the main reasons why we're coming to you today is to discuss the future of the Access to Recovery Grant. With the Affordable Care Act coming into play in 2014, the way that the insurance subsidies are going to be financed is through the reduction and or elimination of federal discretionary grants. Access to Recovery is one of those federal discretionary grants, as are some of the other grants that were listed in the funding stream. We receive a grant for individuals who are offenders who are reentering. That is proposed to be eliminated. We have another grant that is for individuals who have both a mental health and a substance use disorder who are homeless. That is being proposed to be eliminated. The impact of sequestration will impact the block grant that we receive. We receive a portion of the substance abuse and substance abuse prevention and treatment block grant and receive that same level of funding through the Bureau of Milwaukee Child Welfare. That is actually being proposed to be reduced as well because of the cuts in the sequestration. We are trying the best that we possibly can to prepare for the Affordable Care Act. We're requiring that all of our central intake units actually become certified application counselor organizations to begin to do the intake enrollment process to determine an individual's eligibility in either the Marketplace or Medicaid. And we have tried to cast a very large net in support for the Access to Recovery Grant through reach-outs that we have done to our congressional representatives in Milwaukee through the County Exec's Office, to the state, and also through the State Council of Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse, and now to you, because the biggest impact that we are going to see in access to recovery is as we are entering into this last year of funding. The federal fiscal year runs on a different calendar, so it will be the last quarter of 2014. And we will try the best that we possibly can during 2014 to navigate our ability to fully finance the Wiser Choice Network with a balance of insurance and a balance of the monies that we have left over. But it is a very, very, you know, tightrope that we actually walk. It's a delicate balance that we have to be able to have, because one of the greatest strengths of the Wiser Choice Network have been those recovery support services that Sean had alluded to earlier. And I think one of the strengths of the recovery, of the Wiser Choice Network have been the recovery checkup and our ability to follow an individual. 80% of the individuals who we have served, we have been able to follow for a six-month period of time. Those are services that are not usually and traditionally covered by insurance. Even though we deem that they are clinically sound, they don't meet the definition of medically necessary. So we are, working on a very precarious time during 2014. And, this is something that has been incredibly successful. So, you know, if there's anything that we can do to, you know, elicit your support for the Wiser Choice Network, we are here to work in partnership with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions from committee members? Supervisor Stemper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Regarding the Access to Recovery Grant, well, how much of that is dedicated to the reentry program?
For offenders that are reentering?
Yes.
Well, we have one specific grant that is specifically for an offender reentry, and that was the grant that was called MyLink. The reason why we blend all of the resources together in the voucher network is that is a very small discretionary grant, and usually an individual needs more financing beyond the traditional grant that we received to specifically serve that population. So we utilize Access to Recovery for every single individual that comes through the voucher network that is eligible for that funding source.
Okay. And you said the elimination of the grants, the discretionary grant, is scheduled for the end of 2014?
That's correct.
Okay. And the six-month... six months after an individual leaves the program, which is the follow-up time, how much money is dedicated to that program? So 80% of the clients are involved in a six-month.
That is correct. And usually what it averages out to is approximately $200 per person for our ability to follow up with that individual for the six-month period of time.
Okay.
That is for the time that it takes to actually work with the individual and track the individual down, collect the data, but then also the individual is paid an incentive for their ability to do the data reporting outcome for us.
Okay. So 200 per person, you said it was about 3,200 people annual?
That's how many we serve. For recovery checkup, about 5,000 people receive recovery checkup on an annual basis because we are actually capturing individuals that may have been served in a previous calendar year.
Okay. So 80% of that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sue.
Sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Mayo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the report. But my question to you, you're looking at Obamacare and all that at the present moment. You know, Congress is really debating that and might not go into effect. I thought big corporations, and we are a big corporation, would be have a time limit of 2015 instead of 2014. So are you going to look into the funding source and see that we be exempt to 2015? to make sure that we have the opportunity to continue to serve the individuals within Milwaukee County?
I'm not familiar with the exemption program that you're referring to, Supervisor.
Well, I mean, what I'm getting from is in the news that they're talking about big corporations will be exempt from Obamacare from 15, and so
I believe that's the mandatory insurance, if I'm not mistaken.
For employers. Okay. Yeah. I think it applies to employers.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you. Just want to make sure we get our funding source somehow. And what is our representatives from the state and, I mean, from federal, from Congress and senators, what are they saying about this?
Well, we have received support directly from Congresswoman Gwen Moore and also from Senator Tammy Baldwin in actually making an appeal directly to SAMHSA, who is the funder. Now, we are in the last year of ATR 3, which is the third cycle of access to recovery. And in the president's budget, there actually is an ATR 4 that is proposed in the president's budget. However, information that we have received is that it is only going to be available for new states that have never received access to recovery in the past. And obviously that would be a tremendous hardship for Milwaukee County because we have transformed our entire service delivery system and all of our infrastructure to align with the voucher network, you know, the choice that's actually required for delivery of services in ATR. And the only thing that we have asked from our congressional representatives is to allow Milwaukee County to compete. We just want to be able to submit a competitive application because we feel that we would be a competitive applicant for these monies given the outcomes that we've been able to achieve with what we've already received and then also with the infrastructure that is already in place in Milwaukee County. It truly supports the direction that SAMHSA and the federal government have asked us to go in.
Now, do 1915I, do this work anything into this?
No, it doesn't. So this would be totally different because 1915I is specifically for individuals that have a severe and persistent mental illness. So they could receive their substance use disorder treatment services through Medicaid. And this is traditionally for individuals who are uninsured or underinsured.
And do they consider alcoholism a drug, or do they think it's just a mental disease?
The neuroscience definitely supports that it is a disease.
So and not a drug.
Alcohol is a drug. I mean, just by definition, alcohol is a drug, as much as nicotine is a drug, as much as heroin is a drug. So uh-huh. Yeah. Culturally, that might be debated in the state of Wisconsin, though. So.
We didn't want to bring the state of Wisconsin in this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, can we receive and place this on file?
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Supervisor Mayo moves to receive and place on file. Is there anything further from committee? Supervisor Stemper?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'd just like to ask you, could you send me that presentation on the Obamacare that I missed?
Oh, I will send that to you.
Okay.
So that was at the redesign meeting. So
that was very good. I think possibly
who presented that again?
Heather Doomer Combs, who is from the Milwaukee Enrollment Network.
Okay.
I think possibly we'll schedule that for the next committee meeting. It was very informative, and enrollment does start October 1st, so we want to be as informed as we can. All right. It was a good one. All right, we do have a motion to receive and place on file. If there's nothing further from the committee, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on that motion.
Stamper.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Weishaar.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place this item on file is approved.
Thank you.